Welcome to the Sales Squared Podcast, your destination for leveling up in sales, marketing, and business development.
Dollar dollar bill, y'all.
Join us to hear real entrepreneurs with real experiences, engaging with real experts from the world of sales, business, and entrepreneurship. And now for another Sales Squared Value Bomb.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Sales Squared Podcast. And this is actually episode number 3 of the Sales Squared Lounge Hours, a series that we are really, really enjoying because we get to take in your questions from home and answer them in our own living room, in our own lounge, which is an absolute pleasure. Today is all about closing more deals. It's from one of our clients. He's getting a ton of leads, but he wants to know, how do I start closing more of these deals? So we go into depth on how he can begin closing more deals, increasing his conversion rate, and generating the sales and profit that he wants to have for his business. As always, we want to hear your questions, guys. Reach out to us on social media and get in touch with your questions. We are excited to answer them within the Sales Squared Lounge. So hold tight for this one. Grab a pad, grab a pen, make some notes, and enjoy. Hello there, and welcome to episode number 3 of the Sales Squared Lounge Hours. And it's a beautiful sunny day here in Oxford, UK. So if you get a chance to come down here in, what are we, coming up to April now, then come and check out the lovely spring weather.
But not a great day for the hay fever sufferers, though.
It's not. That's very true. Yeah, Scott suffers with hay fever. I do get it a little bit, but I think I'm okay today, which is always a bonus. But let's get down to business. So Scott, as always, let's talk about what is important, which is
sales
and business. So today we actually have a question from one of our clients, Mr. Rob Martin, who has been working with us for a while now. He's been getting some great leads, some great conversations, and closing deals, but he is one of those people who always wants to push further. He knows that there's more out there for him. He knows that he can do better. So his challenge is actually closing. So he doesn't have a problem in getting that interest, in almost selling his services and getting some level of interest in there. But where his real challenge comes into play is closing. You know, closing leads from social media, maybe from different marketing channels that he's pursuing. Actually getting that deal across the line is somewhat of a challenge for him. So I guess to profess this, it all begins with actually understanding the difference between selling and closing, which are two very, very different things. And Scott has a very, very good analogy for the difference between actually sales and closing of deals. So Scott, if you could talk a little bit about what you would just give as an information to begin with for Rob, and how he can actually begin to differentiate between what sales is and what closing is to hopefully increase his conversion rate.
Mm-hmm. Great question. And Rob, you're not alone, right? Every single person, business owner, salesperson, sales director is thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. How do I get deals over the line to grow my business, raise my targets, and just become a better person? Because at the end of the day, it's not just about making money, it's about becoming more abundant in yourself. So I think as a starting point, you know, there's a huge misconception in sales, and I was a believer in this myself, right? I know you was as well, Cam, you know, back in the day when we first started selling. But, you know, going into a deal with a closing mentality isn't always the best, right? So you may have heard people like Grant Cardone, you know, Dan Locke has become quite big on social media now.
High-ticket closer, right?
High-ticket closer!
We see these high-ticket closers everywhere at the minute, and it's, I just want to jump in there because this whole mentality of closing, closing deals is very, very important, but if you go veer too far onto that closing mentality, then you're going to lose out on the service factor, which is so, so crucial for any business. You know, actually being able to offer a great service is just crucial, and you need to be portraying that from the get-go, that you can be the one to provide that service for them, and you're not just looking to close a deal and get your commission check or get the income or the revenue in and then move on to the next one. So
a quick buck,
exactly. So
no one wants to be a quick buck, right?
Exactly, no one wants to be a quick buck. So if you call yourself a high ticket closer, especially if you're using that as your lead in for getting deals with people, then just putting off the wrong perception to people.
Well, put it this way, if you wanted to buy a product and someone approached you with a LinkedIn title as high ticket closer,
yeah,
that kind of puts you on pressure already. Like, if I get on the phone with this guy's
trying to close me.
Yeah. That doesn't work. So coming back to where, you know, Cameron left off there, you know, it don't focus on the end of your funnel. Always, always, always focus on the top, right? And a lot of people, like I said, you know, those kind of social celebrities will say, it's all about closing, get the deal over the line, get the deal done, get it stamped, get it signed. That's got to be done, obviously,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to efficient sales and serving people with that mindset, it starts at the start, guys. It doesn't start at the end, it starts at the start. And
mm-hmm.
that was one of the biggest learnings I took for myself in coaching was, you know, don't focus on the end, focus on the start. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're just 10x in the amount of people you speak to at the start, you're going to have 10x the amount of people at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that give you as an advantage as a salesperson? Would you rather be focusing all your energy on one deal, putting your heart into everything into that? Or would you like the safety of knowing I got 10 of these lined up, right?
Yep.
The biggest advantage you're going to have as a salesperson is releasing that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to feel pressurized to think, shit, I got to close this deal because otherwise my sales manager's going to get on me.
Yep.
Or I'm not going to hit my quota this month. What's going to happen to my
mm-hmm.
confidence, right?
Yeah.
This
or I need to hit a revenue target for my business to keep the lights on, and I've only got 3 people in my pipeline. I need to close 2 of them. Shit, the pressure is on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have 20 people, then the pressure is off a little bit. And I think one thing that you always say, Scott, is people can smell commission breath.
Yeah.
when you're trying to sell based on closing the deal, based on getting the deal across the line. And that's going to become ever more apparent in the perception of people of you if you only have 3 people in your pipeline and they're one of the ones that you need to close and you're pushing it so hard
mm.
that you're just trying to focus on getting the deal across the line and expense for everything else. So
mm.
that's an important thing to remember.
It is, it really is. And I think even the psychology of the word closing is important as well.
Mm.
Like you said, you know, it's not closing the deal, you're opening a relationship. You're not going in to close something, pass it on, forget about that person because you're not serving that that person, right? It's about closing the start of opening that relationship, if that makes sense. And what does that mean for your business and yourself? Well, if your product is as good as it says it is, or your service is right up there with some of the elite, that person's going to be a referral source for you.
Mm.
The opportunity, the exponential opportunity of his network and their networks, and even their networks, is so, so important if you want to make it in sales as to be successful. You know, you can, to an extent, rely on certain strategies. That's always going to help you. But it's the beauty of referrals and asking the wider audiences is for that conversation. But
mm-hmm.
that's only done through service and trust.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a different answer probably to what you're expecting. But you know, closing isn't just about the close. You're always, I mean, there's that saying ABC, right? Always be closing. And I don't necessarily think that it gets people get it in terms of what it actually means. It means that you should always be on the lookout for opportunities and you should always be filling your pipeline with potential sales opportunities. If you have 20, 30 people within your pipeline, not only are you taking the pressure off yourself to close, but you're taking the pressure off your prospect in terms of getting them across the line. And you can really come in and come in with that buying atmosphere. So that's what you want to create. You want to create a buying atmosphere, not a selling atmosphere. So what do we mean by that? So the first example of someone trying to get a deal across the line, I'm sure that you've had this both as a salesperson and probably as someone being sold to, if you've ever had a telemarketer or anything like that on the phone with you and they've been trying to push a deal across the line, get something done and dusted and your signature or your money in their account and just get it done, and you feel this sense of pressure and you feel this sense of mistrust, and it just 9 times out of 10 will kill the deal there and then. People will just say, oh, just send me some information and I'll get
yeah.
back to you, and then you'll never hear from them again, right? Instead, if you come in and think, how can I create a buying atmosphere based on trust here? And the way to do that is actually to come in, let your prospect know, hey John, I think this is a really great fit for you, but of course, if for whatever reason you don't think it's a fit, that's completely fine. I completely understand. I'm here to serve you. I'm here for you and for you to make the best decision possible. I want to guide you to that decision. I'm going to recommend what I think is the best decision for you, but the ball is completely in your court in terms of making the final decision. Is that fair enough with you? And then what you do there is actually open up a situation where the buyer, first and foremost, knows that there's no pressure to make an immediate decision, but they also begin to trust you and begin to trust your judgment. And when you actually say things, when you recommend things, they're going to really take it in and respect your recommendation and probably trust it and probably make a decision based on that, because you have started the whole interaction by letting them know that they don't have to buy. It's their decision, yeah. It's down to them. And at the end of the day, it's them who are going to be making that decision to partner up with you.
It is the importance, right, of good communication as well and setting expectations. You know, the amount of people I've spoken to in the past where, you know, they're trying to do a one call close, which is fine, and they're not actually setting that expectation at the start of the call, mm-hmm. ruins the whole hour you have with them, right? So here's a tip for you, right? If you want to be able to set expectations, you know, at the start of the call, you know, thank you so much for protecting your time. It really does mean a lot to myself, and, you know, X person who arranged this conversation has done a great job. My whole goal here today, John, is just to learn a little bit more about yourself, your business, and just to see if there is a potential fit. Mm-hmm. If so, great, you can get set something up. But if not, no pressure at all. It's absolutely fine. You know, my whole goal here today is to provide you with so much value that you'll take a look at our services. Mm-hmm. Does that sound fair? So what you've done there is create a really effective buying atmosphere where the guy's actually gone, this sales guy's not going to pressure me.
Yeah.
Let's open up. And that's what you want as a salesperson, mm-hmm. to get that info.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the thing. It's actually creating the space for you to have an honest, authentic conversation about that person, about their needs, about their challenges, and about ways that you can help them. One big thing that I see in sales is that people will suddenly switch from their regular person mode into sales mode, and their voice will change, and the way that they communicate with people will completely change, and they're kind of putting on this facade of the salesperson and what they need to be to kind of get that deal across the line. And people can realize that, okay, it's another salesperson, dime a dozen, they all kind of do the same thing, approach me in the same way, have the same tone of voice. And you know how it is when someone, you pick up the phone and it's a salesperson and they're like, hi, John, it's from X person from X company. Let's talk about this and this. And it's just like, I can tell that you're just trying to sell me something instead of actually provide value and offer something that can really help me in my business and help me to make progress towards my goals. And one way to do that is, of course, by creating that buying atmosphere, but also just being authentic and not trying to put on some kind of facade. Understanding your communication style, understanding how to adapt to other people's communication style, but at the same time, really coming in with that mindset of service, taking the pressure off of the person that you're dealing with and having an open and honest conversation about them and about their goals and about what it is that they want to achieve. Diving into maybe some of those pain points that they have, but doing it in a way that's very authentic and very real and really has service at heart, so that you can make a recommendation at the end if it is a fit for them, and they can know that it's an honest recommendation based on how you can really help that person.
It's about authenticity at the end of the day. When I prospect or when I'm selling myself, and you guys can use this as well, and let us know how effective this has been for you, right? Because our whole goal here is not to just talk about how well we're doing, mm-hmm. or, you know, what we're up to. It's about empowering you to do the same things to make your life better. So when I'm actually on the sales calls now, you know, I'm not actually saying, you know, hi, it's Scott Hennessy here from Sales Squared, how are you today? That instantly, in the prospect's mind, mm-hmm. people, you know, they're programmed for that's a sales pitch, mm-hmm. straight up.
It's the same thing that everyone else is doing to them, right?
Yeah.
So if someone is in the market and they're considering buying a certain product, but it is your product, and they're probably going to be speaking to maybe 5 or 6 different people, right? So, and if they're all opening up with exactly the same thing, it gets a bit tiring for that person who's shopping around. And if you can come in something fresh, something new, something innovative in your approach, then they're going to give you the time of day and they're going to have a good conversation with you. And one way that I always know that it's been a really great conversation is if you book in for a half an hour call slot, and it ends up taking 45 minutes or an hour, you know that you provided so much value to that person that they're willing to give more of their time to you and extend that. And that's almost one way to know that you've done a good job there.
Mm-hmm. And one good thing as well to end on that sort of thing is, when you're leaving that telephone conversation and you've made that sale, and by the way, a sale could be monetary, could be getting through to the next stage, it's setting an appointment, it's getting a referral, it's about getting a testimonial perhaps. Mm-hmm. At the end, just one simple question I like to ask. You know, John, what's your biggest takeaway from today? What have, in our time together today, what have you learned? And it's amazing, the people you're speaking with, if it's in a sales situation, you're selling your product or service to them, and they come back and say, you know, Scott, I've really enjoyed my time today, you know, I've learned so much, I didn't know this was possible. You know, what you've done is given fresh perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's also a chance to get really good feedback in terms of your performance. Because as salespeople, you know, unless you're recording every single call religiously, how else are you going to know if that call's gone well? You can't just act on emotion. You think, oh, that call went really well, you know. You know, think logically and ask. It's always great to get that feedback. And if you didn't perform well in that call, that's also fine. It's about learning and developing and taking that through to the next call. So use that sales call not just to sell and build relationships and trust, but also to get feedback, because that's where you're going to make the biggest difference moving forwards.
Exactly. And that feedback is so, so valuable in terms of actually making sure that you've provided value on that call and that you've been someone who has actually been refreshing to talk to and offered new insights potentially and really showing that you care about that person. Think about that compared to all the other salespeople that they're likely speaking with who have said exactly the same things and not really probably asked many questions, gone in and just pitched them something straight away. They're going to choose you every single time because you've actually given them a fresh and an innovative approach.
So, so true. And if you want to be able to experience meaningful business growth, you have to have that mindset. Mm-hmm. Just being able to consistently look at how good or bad you've done and just be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Once a week, sit down and say, I did X amount of reaches. I actually set this many appointments. I actually ran these many appointments. Yep. Just, you know, again, maybe coming in on a different angle here with numbers, but, you know, don't lie about your numbers either. You know, if you want to be able to get clarity and really focus on what's working and what's not, just be true to yourself. And moreover, if you don't have a coach right now, I would unbelievably recommend it, right, for any sort of level you're at. But if you don't have a coach, try to do a little bit of self-talk, right? Make those affirmations, really look at your numbers and say to yourself, well, week A I did this, week B, week C, week D. If you're noticing a trend in something, maybe it's a downtrend in the appointments you set in, maybe it's a downtrend in the sales you're closing, that's when it's a really good idea to really think about who can help me and what do I need to be doing to get better. And
I love that. Yeah. It's, if you're not tracking your numbers, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, what are you doing? You need to know your numbers on every stage of your funnel. So it pisses me off when people in sales and they don't track, for example, the number of calls that they're setting, the number of closes that they're getting, and actually tracking that whole funnel in terms of the conversion rates at every stage. If you don't know those conversion rates, then there's no way to tell if you're getting better, if you're getting worse, if what you're doing is working. And another really valuable thing about having actual conversion rates at every stage is that if you know that you have 20% conversion rate, you know for a fact because you've been tracking the last 200 calls you've done and the numbers throughout the whole cycle, then you know exactly how much activity you need to be putting into your lead gen, into your appointment setting, into getting those conversations scheduled in. So you know, if I need to close 2 people a week, I need to be having 10 conversations a week. It's as simple as that. Yeah, it's just something that's very, very simple, very, very basic that you can actually use to start putting some deliberate intent into behind what you're actually doing as a salesperson, as a business owner, as someone who needs to make more revenue for their business.
Of course, and this is what we've been indoctrinated with, right? So I know all I have to do every single month is speak to 8 people a week. That's it. I don't have to worry about anything else. I know if I speak to 8 people a week, 32 people a month, you know, 6 to 8 clients are going to come on at a minimum $1,000 a month. I mean, without that clarity, I would have confusion. I wouldn't know if I was going to make my numbers this month. My confidence would be swaying as I know that not many people are getting to the end, even though I've been focusing all my efforts at the top. It's the safety, the comfortability, the knowledge, and the clarity of knowing where I'm at any given point in time. Mm-hmm. And if I want to turn the tap up, I'll turn the tap up.
Exactly.
And if I want to tone it down for whatever reason because I'm doing other things, I can do that as well. But again, guys, clarity. Clarity is everything. Once you get a really clear vision, everything starts to seem a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Scott. What comes to mind when people say, when people ask you that question, you know, how do I overcome objections? I'm getting this objection, I'm getting that objection here, and I just crumble when I get this objection, right? And you know, I'm not a high ticket closer. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get things across the line. So what would you recommend to people who are looking to overcome those objections and still close the deal, even if it means that they've had like four or five different objections that they had to overcome?
Great question. Objections are natural. They're always going to happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you will, you know, effortless pitch, they want to buy straight away, great. But more often than not, you're always going to get an objection. But
right. The
first and most important thing is, it's not an objection, mm-hmm. right? When people say, so when it comes to that natural conclusion, you know, if you agree with this, you know, X, build the value, build the momentum. And then they hit you with an objection, it's usually cost. Mm. You know, this quarter's quite tight for me, I can't really outlay $2,000-$3,000 on this. You know, it's cost, let's think about it another time. What you have to do is isolate that objection first, right? So, you know, thank you so much for telling me, I appreciate your financial situation. Cash flow is important to everyone, right? Get agreement. Apart from the cost, is there anything else that's holding you back right now? And that's the magic few words, right? Because that's when, oh, my dog's going into hospital. whatever ones am I here? You know, the timing's not right. You know, my husband has control over the finances.
That's a good question, actually. Let's talk about that for a minute. What are the funniest objections that you've had? I know you've had some good ones. Come on, let's think. What have you had?
The dog going to the vets was funny. Why would that matter? Why would that matter? What else have I had? What a funeral was one.
Right.
And a funeral, I mean, that probably was authentic,
fair,
but
fair enough.
Sometimes you don't know. Mm-hmm. Let me think about this. Let me sleep on it.
Let me sleep on it. Yeah,
I'll sell you a bed, bro. Right? You know, what's to sleep on?
Yeah.
You know, we're having that conversation right now. So yeah. I can't really think of them off the top of my mind, but I've had some fun.
The thing is, like, ridiculous. Whatever it is, like, oh, I need to speak to my milkman. I need to speak to my goldfish. Like, whatever objection that you're going to get, it's just a smokescreen, right?
Yeah.
You gotta remember that it's not really... It's the first objection they throw out there is actually them just saying, you know, I don't trust you enough yet. So keep talking. Let's see how you answer this. And then we'll see if I want to buy from you. So I think that's one really important thing to remember is that objections are, as Scott said, they're not objections, they're questions. And actually what they are sometimes is buying signals. In fact, most of the time they're buying signals. It's just people letting you know that they don't quite trust you yet, but they're still interested and they just want you to sell them a bit better on what it is that you're offering. If you can actually overcome those objections in a way that's going to really build trust with them and make them 100%. I know that Jordan Belfort talks about the 3-10s, so they need to be a 10 out of 10 on you as a person, they need to be a 10 out of 10 on your business, and they need to be a 10 out of 10 on the service that you're offering. If you can get people to, you know, 9, 10 out of 10 on all three of those things, then there's going to be absolutely no reason why they don't buy for you. They'll find the money. If they're in business, they have some kind of budget and they'll find the money to work with you. So that's really all that you need to work on. But really, when it comes to overcoming objections, one thing that I always, always tell my clients is don't think about overcoming the objection. Think about preventing the objection. Prevention is always better than a cure. So one thing actually that I would recommend is if you're struggling with these different objections that you're getting and that you need to kind of somehow overcome, is take an hour, write down, think about all the objections that you've received in the past, write them down. Maybe you come up with a list of 5 or 10 or 15 potentially different objections. You know, you've got common ones, price, time commitment, you know, whatever it may be. But think about maybe if there's some other ones outside the box and write them down, and then look to address those within your presentation, within your pitch. So let's say that price is the most common objection that you get and people struggle to see the value for money that you provide. Mention that, right? Mention that in your initial presentation. So you may say, you know, I know this is the price. I know that it's quite expensive. It's quite a high cost. I understand that. Here's why it's the price that it is, and then go to list all of the benefits that they receive for actually getting that and make it seem like a great deal. Build up the value for what it is that you're offering, and do that with all of your objections. Think about all of the different objections that you're likely to get within that call, and try and overcome them before you get to that stage where it's, you know, kind of killing the deal a bit at the end, where they're giving you these objections and you have to try and overcome them, and you're umming and ahhing and you're not quite sure what it is to say, and you kind of lose that credibility that you once had at the beginning of the call, or that trust that you had. And really at that point, it just comes down to, some people will naturally be able to answer objections better than others, but if you can actively, proactively, instead of reactively, overcome the objection. So proactively talk about the different objections that you're likely to have with your customer first and foremost, instead of having to reactively respond to them after the matter and then risk losing the deal.
Mm-hmm. And don't discount, right? Because that just cheapens your service. Mm-hmm. And you know, what you don't want to get into is a freaking discount war. Will you do it for 10% off? No, it's got to be 20, or meet me in the middle of 50. That's not sales, that's just bartering, and you're not providing that much value. Because if you get into a situation like that, people only care about cost. Mm-hmm. And if people are buying your service or product based on cost, think again, right?
No loyalty. There'll be no loyalty there. If people are buying on cost, then as soon as someone else comes along with a better deal, they're going to leave your ass and go to someone else.
Even if
better,
it's twice the price.
They're gonna be buying on cost every time, right? So if you sell your service for $1,000 and they want it for $800, and then they work with you for a couple of months and they find someone with a similar service for $600, they're just gonna leave you straight away because they're following the price, right? That's not the kind of client that you want to have.
No.
You wanna have clients who buy based on value, based on them actually trusting and wanting to build a relationship with you, and having that partnership in place is what
Absolutely.
You want to achieve here. So you've got to build up the value, and if anyone ever asks for a discount, then just stay true to yourself, stay true to your business, and if anything, think, how can I provide more value to you?
Mm-hmm.
What else can I give as a value add instead of taking away? What else can I give to you to make you make this deal? And maybe there are some things that you can offer at a pretty low cost for you, but a high perceived value for your customer that you can actually offer as a way to sweeten the deal a little bit, get that deal across the line. I'm not saying that negotiation is something that you should avoid at all costs, but when it comes to negotiating on price, then probably not the best idea, probably not got the best potential client on your hand if they're just going to make the decision completely based on price.
Well, you don't want to build a business based on those sort of D or E clients. If you're rating your clients A, B, C, and D, E, or whatever, you don't want the majority of that pie to be the D's and E's when we buy on cost.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be nightmares when it comes to not delivering.
Yeah. And let's segue that back into the whole closing mentality. When you have that closing mentality, you're going to be more tempted to close those deals because you're like, I'm a high ticket closer. I need to get this deal across the line. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to offer a discount here. I'm going to offer this there. And you're going to just try and get that across the line at the expense of your well-being in the future when you have to deal with these difficult, unloyal customers that you've just built your whole business around in the name of closing deals. Instead, as Scott said earlier, have that abundance in your pipeline, work on your lead gen, work on your marketing, get a better lead flow in, and you're going to take so much pressure off yourself. Don't be afraid if you need to invest, either if it's to investing money or investing time into building that pipeline. I promise you it's going to make your life so much easier. You're going to have less stress, you're going to have less frustration, and you're going to have better quality conversations because you're not stressed or worried about getting a deal across the line because you know that you have to make 2 sales and you only have 3 people in your pipeline.
Confidence. If you're at that point where you can actually say, do you know what, Mr. Prospect? I'm not discounting because I've got 50 other people to speak with. That's when you've got confidence in yourself and you don't actually have to worry about getting into a negotiation like that. So I think that's a really good place to end in terms of negotiation and lead generation. Is there anything else we could or should be speaking about?
I think we've covered a lot in terms of overcoming objections, in terms of actually creating a sales methodology, a sales process for yourself where you're not reliant on having to overcome objections, where you can proactively attack them, you can have an abundance within your pipeline, and you can really take the pressure off both yourself and your prospects. That's really the key to having better quality conversations, to closing more deals, to becoming a high ticket closer. No, I'm joking, that's not what we want to achieve here. But, you know, really what it all comes down to is if you can actually, if whatever you can do to solidify that trust with your prospect and who it is that you're looking to sign as a client, then you're going to be in a very, very nice position for getting those deals across the line and being in a better place to answer those objections. So I think that's all for today. Thank you so much, Rob, for your question. I hope that it's been able to help you. I hope if you're listening and you resonate with some of these challenges that you've been able to take some notes and really get some value from this too. As always, we answer questions every single week about
everything.
Sales, business, everything. So yes, get in touch, leave a comment below, hit us up on social media. We will have our contact details there for you, and we very much look forward to the next episode of Sales Squared Lounge Hours. Until then, keep squaring your sales, keep up the good work, and we will speak to you soon.
Ciao, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Sales Squared podcast. As always, we want to hear from you. Reach out. You can find me on LinkedIn under Cameron Scott or on Instagram under the Cameron Scott _.
And you can find me, Scott Hennessy, on LinkedIn. So that's HENNESSY. And Instagram, Henster. So it's HENNSTA_gram.
Now, what are these people going to want to do, Scott? I think they need to go and visit our website, right?
1,000,000%.
So go to our website, squaredsales.com, and you can find, firstly, a free guide on how to literally skyrocket your sales on LinkedIn. So this is the stuff that we use with our own business, with clients, to literally create six figures in revenue or more. And also, you can just get on our website, you can find our blog, you can read some really, really valuable articles that are going to help you in your business today. So reach out to us, come visit us, and we look forward to hearing from you.